Check, check, check. Got a buzz too. We got a buzz. There you go. There you are. Little Johnny was having a hard time with his job and stuff. He ran into a hard time. So he wanted to have a goose. His family wanted a goose for Christmas. He was in charge of it. So he decided, since he didn't have any money, he would go find one. Fill in between the lines. He could find him a goose. So after he found the goose and realized he had stole the thing, it really got on his conscience. So he went to the priest and said, "I have stolen a fat goose from a poultry yard." The priest said, "That's very wrong." The confessor said, "What would you like, or would you like to accept it, Father?" "Certainly not," replied the father. "Return it to the man you stole it from." The confessor, "But I've offered it to him and he wouldn't have it. In that case, you may keep it for yourself." "Thank you, Father." The priest arrived home and found one of his geese had been stolen. He offered it back. All right, get your Bible out. It's a verse we've been doing a lot for Thanksgiving. We're going to do a Thanksgiving-Christmas combo today. Thanksgiving Christmas combo, because it's all one thing. It's all together. Thanksgiving, I'm thanking God for bringing us here. I'm thanking God for His Son. I mean, it's all together is an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, stand for the reading of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Y'all can read it with me. Ready? Everybody ready? I broke off guitar string in my Bible. Where'd that come from? Guys are playing. Obviously, the guys are playing. The Bible was sitting right here, and the guitar string went right in my Bible. Amen. I said, "What is in that? Is that a needle? Is it a guitar string? An E string?" All right, ready? Here we go. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." One more time. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well on the throne, God. We thank you, God, for your power, your anointing. We thank you, God, for the greatest gift we've ever received, and that was the Christ child. We don't have to go before a priest. We don't have to go through religion. We go to Jesus, your Son, because he came to us. We didn't go to him. He came to us. And I thank you, God, that he knows how it feels, whatever our situation is right now. He understands, and he knows, and he cares, and he can do something about it. In the name of Jesus, we give this service to you. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Let's get this thing here. There we go. Watch this. There we go. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. Wow. I got to read that one again. That's really cool. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. This Thanksgiving and this Christmas, this whole season, I want to say this season, but I didn't want to leave. You know, have you noticed that one of the things that's been left out in the stores in the last few years and gets more and more left out is Thanksgiving? They go straight from Halloween to Christmas. They leave out Thanksgiving. So it says, this Thanksgiving is Christmas. Listen carefully. Don't mess what you've got by messing what you're missing. Whoa. I didn't say messing who you're missing. Messing what you're missing. DC got up a minute ago. And he said, "This is our Christmas song." And I started thinking about it. And I thought about all those years that, you know, that we had hanging of the greens, and we would line up, and everybody had their best little shirt and pants, and we would practice for weeks on weeks on weeks on end, and we'd do the hanging of the greens, and it would take us 4 or 5 weeks, 2 times a week, to get it all prepared, and then we'd all be back there in that back room, and we'd come marching up here to sing the choir, and people running back and forth, and we had all this stuff going on. And I started thinking about it, and the majority of the people that were singing in that choir are no longer here. Period. They've gone to that great hanging of the greens in heaven. And so they're not here. And I was thinking about some of the other traditions that this church had. I also was thinking about things in our own life. I remember, you know, that last Christmas with my mama was spent in a rehab. They let us use the rehab cafeteria that had a tree in there, and let us have a Christmas celebration with mama in that rehab the following year after at Thanksgiving. She said, let's put the tree up. Because she didn't have any legs. She couldn't do anything anyway. They put the tree up. And when they put the tree up, when we left, we didn't know this. When we left, she told Daddy, she said, honey, I'm tired. Can I go home? And he said, what do you mean? She says, I'm tired. Can I please go be with my God? And she died on December 16th. And so the next Christmas was crazy. Then a few years later, my wife Beverly, DC and Daniel's mom, she died on December 20th and was buried on the 23rd. Man, it went from crazy to crazier. And then Bethany died at Thanksgiving. So she's not here at Christmas. So it went from crazy, crazy to crazier to craziest. And I sat back, and there's a little commercial on TV. I think it's for Ollie's. And every time there's a little bitty girl with glasses on, she looks up at the tree, and lights are shining through her glasses. Every time I see it, I think about Bethany. When we first got Bethany, she didn't have anything. It was all in a trash bag. And most of the stuff she had was either broke or didn't work. And when we started getting her stuff, we had to teach her how to play with dolls, not beat them and not kick them, but play with them, because she'd been beating kicks so much. So I remember all this stuff. Life was changing constantly, constantly, constantly. Today, I guarantee you there's people in here that either it was a job, a relationship, a tradition, a person that you're missing right now. And then you start missing these things. If you're not careful, you miss out on the blessings that are right before you. You miss out on what God is doing for you right now. You think when God allowed my mama to die, my first wife to die, Bethany to die, I said, okay, no more fun, no more blessings, the rest of your life, dress in black and lay under a rock. No. Life is different every year. And yes, we got our traditions, and yes, we got things that we'd like to be different, but if we're not careful, we get so busy missing what you're missing that you miss what's actually here. And man, oh man, the biggest hurt is not missing what you're missing, it's missing what is in front of you. Because later on, this will be what you're going to be missing. Okay? So now, we call it the holiday blues, and so many people today, I hear it all the time. I don't just hear it at the detention center. I don't just hear it at the nursing homes. I don't hear it just amongst people that don't know God. I hear it from people that know God, that are His children. Hear it all the time. How can you tell when somebody's got the holiday blues? You may find yourself on this list. Don't raise your hand and don't point at anybody, please. But here it goes. You're feeling sad, and this is Christmas, Thanksgiving. You're feeling sad and discouraged. You have a loss of interest in any of this. Your appetite, weight change. Either you get really, really big or really, really small. You get restless. There's no energy. You feel hopeless. There's difficulties concentrating. There's persistent thoughts of death or suicide. There's withdrawal. And there's other various physical symptoms. What this is, the holiday blues, is just a good old case of Christmas time depression. The more you try to dwell on what you're missing, the more you miss what you got, and the more you get caught up in the holiday blues. So now, let's just go a little bit further there. Bless his heart, that old blue. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. That's just what he's singing. A blue, blue, blue. See, he's got blue. Y'all help me out. Laugh something. Blue Christmas, the blue snowman, all right? How many want, listen to me, let me change that. Not just want. Look, don't raise your hands. How many need to, listen carefully, because I'm putting her out there now. Y'all going to say, let your snow plow down, Pastor. How many want to, how many need to change your attitude? To become grateful again. To enjoy a season of thankfulness. There's some that want to. There's some that need to. Some have both of those categories. What you have to do is you have to make a conscious effort to change some things. Because I promise you, some of the things you are missing, you'll miss for a long time. I tell people when they experience a death in their family, I said there's a time of mourning and a time of grief. The time of mourning is when you're learning to adjust to get back to some type of normal without them. That's the mourning. That lasts for a while, usually sometimes up to a year or two, and then it will get better. But the grief will be there the rest of your life. You will always grieve that person. So you got to learn that you got to make a conscious effort in times like these to get it done. So the first thing you got to do, check your faith. Check it. Let me ask you a question. There, we're going to hit that button again. Check your faith. Keep faith that God is really in control. Do you believe that? How many believe that God's really in control? Really believe that God's in control? You really believe it? I don't think you do because I can't hear it. How many believe God's in control? There you go. Come on. How many believe God's in control? You can trust Him to take care of the situation in His time and His way, and He'll do it the best way. Amen. So I want you to look at this. This is one of my favorite synoptic gospel scriptures. No, synoptic doesn't mean that it's not King James. Synoptic means that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have similar situations. They just look at it at a different point of view. And so we're going to look at what Matthew talks about. First, we're going to go to Matthew. I'll get your Bibles out to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I have not marked my Bible, so we can do it, find it all together. If you don't know where Matthew is, follow all the way to the end of the New Old Testament. Take a right. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now the synoptic gospels tell it. They go ahead and make the whole picture. So we're going to do the whole picture, okay? When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And it's something, just when you need God, he's taking a nap. I know none of y'all have ever felt like that. And his disciples, behold, there was a great tempest, the ship was covered, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. And of course, the men marveled and said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now turn to Mark. I'll keep it simple. That's the next book if you don't know where that's at. Mark chapter 4. Mark adds something. Matthew says the disciples followed him. So it almost sounds like either the disciples said, hey, he's going, let's get with him. Let's go ahead and join him. Mark says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Jesus, let us, y'all say us, pass over unto the other side. Jesus says, y'all follow me. Let us get in this boat. And let us get to the other side. It's a promise. It's a command. And it's a promise. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There's even more around. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. But he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. God, do you see what I'm going through? Don't you understand? Are you sleeping while I'm busy trying to survive? Master, carest not now that we perish? And when he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now turn to Luke. Luke, just turn right, keep on going. That's why it's so important. When you're looking at the Gospels, this is a hermeneutic, a law of hermeneutics. If you're doing the Synoptic Gospels, what you got to do is you look at all three of them so you can get a full picture. It's kind of like if you go to an accident and you got three people that saw the accident. They all saw the same thing at the same time, but because of their background, because of what they were made out of, because of what how they are educated, whatever, they're all going to see something different. The same thing, but something different. That's how you get a whole picture. So here's Luke. Matthew, the tax collector. Mark is listening to Peter tell the story. And now Luke, the physician and historian. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went in the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. He didn't say just go to the other side. The other side of what? The lake. We're going to make this journey and we're going to complete it. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. That jeopardy is not the game show that comes on every night at 7:30 on Channel 7. Jeopardy is they thought they were going to die. They're going to lose everything. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this that he commandeth even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. Let's just look at something here. Get it, Walter. Let it rip, bruh. When y'all want to sit there and no one say anything, just listen to Walter. He'll take care. He got you slapped. Okay. They're in a situation. Jesus has commanded them to get in the boat and said, let us go to the other side. So now, he's tired. He's been ministering all day. Yes, he's the Son of God, but he's also the son of man. 100% God, 100% man. The man part is tired. And so he goes to sleep on the hinder part of the ship. Look, you know where he was at? His head was laid down where the pilot of the ship would sit. Think about it. Where the pilot would sit and control the boat. That's where he's at. And he's gone to sleep. And now it's got so bad all around him. And they're thinking that he don't care because he's not paying attention. He's trying to help us to understand something. No matter how bad it gets, he still got you. No matter how bad. He's got you. And if you haven't heard him, it's not now he's not sleeping because he's in heaven. He's got his heavenly body. He's 100% God, and he's got his glorified body in heaven. So he's not sleeping, but there's times where he lets you think that he's sleeping. So watch this. There's a promise. Get in the boat. Every last one of you may be here right now. Get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. On the way to the other side, there it is. They get stuck. They can't do anything. These are experienced fishermen. They can't do anything. They're going down for the third time. How many here's ever felt like that? He's going down. And where's Jesus? He's in the pilot position and he's asleep. Some of y'all right now don't understand. You're going to make it to the other side. The problem is the hard part comes. Your faith has to really be sharp when you're in the middle. When you're in the middle of that trial, the very middle, you're hurting, you're tired, you're disgusted. You say, God, I don't know why I'm doing this anymore. God, I don't know why you even called me. God, this doesn't make sense. Where are you at, God? Are you asleep? No, he's not asleep. He's getting you to the point where you can totally trust him to take care of the situation. How many saw the mighty army this morning? We read the mighty army this morning. You're going to love this. This is exactly where God put them. Ready? Here's the mighty army this morning. God can do more. God can do way more with your surrender than you can do with your control. In that boat in the middle of the sea, they were in control. And when it got beyond them, they're no longer in control. So in order to get to the other side, they had to learn surrender in the middle of total chaos. Surrender! God, I need you, show me, and watch what God will do. I can't tell you the times. I've been in that middle, and I wondered, God, you say you can get us out of this, but I don't know how. I don't see it. And God says, if God was a Southerner, he'd say, hey, hold my tea. Hold my tea and let me show you something. So here's what's going on. God wants you to take care of this. Change your attitude. Learn to become grateful again. Enjoy this time, whether it's got everything you want or not. It doesn't matter if you got... We were watching a show yesterday, and they were making a 500-pound wedding cake. 500 pounds. How many people were they feeding with that cake? It don't matter if you got a 500-pound Christmas tree and you got gifts all under that tree and you got a feast that'll feed an army or you got a Twinkie. God, I give up my control and I surrender. Surrender to you. So now, first, your faith. I'm going to keep on going. I had a stop that we parked there for a while. I hope we don't park anywhere else. If we do, it'll be okay, I promise. Sometimes you just have to pick yourself up and carry on. You see that orange? When life, or lemon, when life hands you lemons, well, make lemonade. Here's a hard one. You want to get your attitude back? You want to get your gratefulness back? Learn how to forgive. Forgiving is not burying the hatchet, leaving the handle up in the air. So if ever you need it, you can pull her back. Forgive. The price is paid in full. Jesus did it for me. So look, you got to forgive the past. You got to forgive yourself. I know over the years I've done some stupid things. I had to run into an old friend last night, and it was funny. We're at La Riba, and he saw me, and I started joking with him. I said, "You need to sit down, son." And he looked back at me and said, "Just remember, I knew you before you were a pastor." He said, "I got some hot stuff on you, bro." It's okay. Because I've forgiven the past. I've forgiven myself. Forgive those in front of you. Forgive those who are not in front of you. There are some people that you need to forgive that are dead. You will never see them again. There are some people you need to forgive. They've moved long, long away. There are some people you need to forgive and you can't even do it to them to their face because all it'll do is cause more problems. You need to learn. Forgive the past. Forgive yourself. Forgive those in front of you and forgive those that's not in front of you. Remember, they may need to forgive you too. The Bible says if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. So forgive. That's another way to get your attitude back. Next, face. I'm not talking about looking in the mirror and see a little pretty face and put on Maybelline. Face God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look forward, not backwards. There's so many people that won't quit looking backwards. That's why they run into so many things, because they're so busy looking backwards they can't see in front of them. If you're here now missing what you're missing, or missing what you don't have versus holding on to what you got and thanking God for that, then you're living in the past, you're looking backwards, and it will not work. You will fail. Keep following Him, seek His face, and let Him take control and care of the rest. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Matthew 6 and 33. I love this. If you're grateful for everything, then whatever you have is enough. Matty Ross, the great philosopher Matty Ross, who worked with that great philosopher John Wayne. John Wayne said, "Courage is being afraid and saddling up anyway." Matty Ross said, when the lady was trying to offer her some more chicken and dumplings, she said, "Look," she said, "I've had enough. And enough is as much as a feast. Thank you." Focus. Focus on the gifts in front of you, on what you have, not what you don't have. Thank God for for the gifts in front of you. Trust God for the gifts that are coming. And focus on your eternal reward. Not just temporary home here. This is all temporary. This is all temporary. I was talking to Brandon today, and he was talking about wearing suits. And I said, I remember when I just got into church. I got into church when DC's mama was pregnant with him. We'd been in church for just a few months, and she had him. And DC loved daddy. He was a daddy's baby. And so I had to carry him all the time. And so I'm carrying him. Everybody in the church had a suit but me. And so I said, I'm going to get me a suit. So I saved up some money, went to Griffin's Stopping Shop. Anybody ever gone to Griffin's Stopping Shop? There you go. The older guys have. I went to Griffin's Stopping Shop, and he had the cheapest suits. I know, and I found out why. I go in and get a suit, and it's a gray suit, and it was a three-piece suit. And he says, get in front of that mirror. Man, it fit like a glove. Man, it was looking good. And I went, whew, that looking good. He said, all right, give me $39.95. I gave him $39.95. I got my suit. Sunday morning, I put it on to go to church, and my wife said, is that the same suit you put on yesterday? I said, yes. She said, are you sure that's the same suit you put on yesterday? I said, yes. She said, it's because it looked like you shrunk four sizes. That guy had got me in that mirror and grabbed back of my coat and pulled it tight and twisted it until it looked just right. And said, look at how good that suit looks on you. So it's bad enough I'm going into church. My first suit I ever had, going in there so proud to have a suit that looked like it was falling off of me. And I'm holding DC, who's only a couple months old, and we're sitting in church, and I go, you're such a good little boy. I love you, buddy. And he went, look, he went, bah! And flew up all over my brand new custom made suit. $39.95. And that also included the seamstress doing her job, which is his hand in my back. But you know what? I was sitting there, and I looked at that suit, and I looked at my son, and I said, God, I thank you that at least I can get a suit, whether it looks good or not. But the biggest thing is, thank you for that son of mine. And one day he's going to do great things for you. And so I'm just going to keep blessing him, and I want him to bless you, God. And I said, you know what? And again, I started thinking, this is all temporal. It's all temporary. I've got to enjoy this while I've got it. That suit will come and go. It's amazing when you change your focus. And then finally, I'm getting through. Some of y'all are going, no, you're not. Yes, I am. Some people complain because God put thorns on roses, while others praise him for putting roses among thorns. Wow. Forget me not. Forget not the true meaning of Christmas and Thanksgiving. The true meaning of Christmas in Thanksgiving. I've read that Bible from front to back multiple hundreds of times. I have never seen Mattel or Hasbro or Honda or shotguns. But I did see about a man and his fiance, hated by their people because she was pregnant. And to make matters worse, they're saying that Jesus was, his mama was illegitimately pregnant by a soldier. And then he had to go to Bethlehem. And all that trek they had to make. And when he got there, he couldn't even go in an inn. The baby was born in a stable, probably a cave, and put in a feeding trough. Wow. God said, I want you to know that I want to know how you feel about everything. I want to know how you feel. because I've never felt pain. I've never felt hunger. I've never felt this stuff, and my son will. And he'll tell you, I know how it feels, and I'm going to take care of you. You see, God provided our spiritual and physical needs. So tell God how thankful you are for what he's given you. Get ready. And thank him for what he's not giving you. That's hard. Real quick, we're getting ready to go next door and throw down. We're going to say the blessing here so y'all don't have to wait for me to get there. Y'all can just go ahead and just save me a bowl of something, okay? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Here we go. Let's spell it. T for Thanksgiving. Thanks. Take nothing for granted. We're so busy looking behind us, we can't see what's in front of us. And so we take things for granted. We take our spouses for granted, our children for granted. What gifts we have, we take for granted. The abilities that we got, we take for granted. Because we're so busy looking back there at what we don't have. H, humble yourselves before God. You ain't got to be in control. Let God be in control. A, take action. Keep moving forward. Don't let the circumstances stop you. H, never forget God's always in control. And K, keep your eyes on the blesser, not the blessing. And S, say thanks often. I've learned really, really hard. I learned the hard way, but I've learned to thank God when things weren't going my way. When things weren't happening the way I thought they should be happening, I've learned to thank God anyway. Just thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, because if you know that if I needed this, you let this happen because you knew I needed this. Tis the season. Tis the reason. Your Christmas may not be perfect. DC, come on up here. Your Christmas may not be perfect, but the reason for the season is focus on him. Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Your Christmas. Your Christmas may not be what you're expecting. There may be some things that you really would like to do and you can't. But the day's coming. And when it comes, don't just do it. Do it and help somebody else do it too. God's got us 100%. Again, your Christmas may not be perfect. There's people that you'd rather have or want to continue to be with you. I was just, like I said, thinking about the hanging of the greens and thinking about all the people that used to be part of it. Now they're all gone. They're with God. People in my own family, they used to have so much fun. My mama loved Christmas. I think my mama loved Christmas more than I did. She ain't here. We can't live on what was, and we can't let what was stop our what is, because if we stop our what is, we're going to ruin what will be. I want everybody to stand up. God's got us 100%. God has got us. Everybody bow your heads. Close your eyes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The governor shall be above his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That's Christmas. That's Christmas. The other is ceremonies and tradition. That's Christmas. That's not just tradition. That's a fact. When everything else is gone, it's still here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you find yourself being consumed by or being sucked in to the holiday blues, you find yourself so concerned about what you're missing that you're missing what's in front of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If those blues are getting to you, but nobody looking around, every eye closed, can you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm letting them get to me. They're getting to me. I don't need it to, but it's getting to me. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your wealth. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's whatever's going on around you. There's a challenge in this message today. And that challenge is focus on what you got. And God will multiply it. Focus on what you lost. And you lose more. Focus on what you got. Thank God for it. And watch God multiply it. It's amazing what can happen.
Hands.
Use my hands. Okay. That's your job. You grab her. We'll grab you. You grab her. Father, I thank you for something special happening right now in our very midst. Your child did not come here in vain. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you right now from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Let her feel your peace, your anointing, your strength in the name of Jesus. Like they said at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus. Receive that strength. And we thank you for it right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You got this. You got this. Watch out for him, though. Been so good of the goodness of God. God is awesome. Before we say the Lord's Prayer, we're going to go ahead and say the blessing over this food. And go over and have a good time with you. Don't worry about if you brought anything or not. That's not what this is about. This is about going over and getting you some good stuff. Everybody's invited. There's nobody left out. I want you all to go over there and get you something, okay? It's going to be awesome. Lord, bless this food. Bless this fellowship. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing for us this hour, this day. Help us, God, not to focus on what we don't have or what we've lost, but help us to focus on what we do have. Because when we thank you for that, that's when things begin to turn around, and I thank you for it. Some of us are in the middle right now, and it feels like we're sinking, and you're asleep. Lord, touch us. Help us to let go of control and give it to you in the name of Jesus. Bless this food. Bless our bodies. We thank you for it. Now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Dismiss us in prayer, brother.